On September 14th, in the year 335, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem was dedicated. There was at the time great interest in the Holy Land, in identifying the sites associated with the life and the ministry of Jesus, and most especially in the sites associated with his death and resurrection. And so the Emperor Constantine sent his mother Helena to Jerusalem, and excavations were undertaken, and it is said that Helena discovered a portion of the cross of Jesus, found it on the site where tradition says the crucifixion and the resurrection took place. Immediately, this newly dedicated church became an important site of pilgrimage, and it remains so to this day. What is interesting to me is that modern archaeologists actually say this could indeed be the site where Jesus was crucified and buried. And in fact, there was a restoration undertaken just this year. It was completed in March. And in the course of that work, in removing marble from the Middle Ages and from the 4th century, they found stone and mortar from the 1st century. And at the site where tradition has it Jesus was buried, they found a table, a slab, a place where indeed his body may have rested. From this dedication on September 14th comes our feast, Holy Cross Day. It's one of two particular feasts in the calendar dedicated to the cross. Of course, the first is Good Friday. And on that day, we focus in a very particular and deliberate way on the horrible death of Jesus on the cross and of the sinfulness of humanity that puts him there. Holy Cross Day, we do focus on the cross, but we emphasize more the victory of the cross. That through the cross, Jesus passes from death to life. Through the cross is the triumph over the powers of suffering and death, over the powers of sin and evil. Through the power of the cross, their hold on humanity is broken, and salvation is won. So it's not surprising, and I'm sure you all know, that the cross is for us a central symbol. But it begins its life as a symbol of torture, of capital punishment, and has become instead for us a way of life and a symbol of veneration, the very means of our redemption. Tertullian, one of the great thinkers of the early church, who lived from the late 2nd to the early 3rd century, observed that Christians rarely do anything significant without making the sign of the cross, either on objects or on people. And notes that the sign of the cross is made at important points during the Eucharist. And of course you know that when a priest blesses a person or an object, the sign of the cross is outlined. It says both the importance of the cross and what is happening in those moments. And in baptism, we are all marked on our foreheads with a sign of the cross. And in that action, we are claimed by Christ forever. We are in fact marked as Christ's own. It's almost as though Jesus puts his initials on us and claims us, marks us and says, "You are mine." As those of us who are marked as forever as Christ's own, we are therefore called to live walking in the way of the cross, following that way that Jesus has gone. And the promise is that through the waters of baptism, we will share in that very victory that Jesus has, the victory over sin and death. That everything that alienates us from God and our neighbor and ourselves is put to death on the cross. And that through the cross, all those evils and those powers of this world are defeated and love triumphs. We as a parish church are dedicated to Jesus the Redeemer. And so Holy Cross Day is for us our feast of title, that day we remember both our dedication and also we give thanks for the life of this parish. And so we as a community are especially devoted to Jesus, the Redeemer who triumphs through the victory of the cross. And we're called to live into that victory, and we're called to walk the way he has gone. As I was preparing this sermon, I came across a quote I had saved from 3 years ago, a quote by a man named Carl Medeiros that was posted on a blog post in 2014, and he has something interesting to say about the power of the cross. He says this, "Jesus' way is not passive. The way of the cross is perhaps the most aggressive stance towards evil ever taken. The love that God offers the world in Christ is not wimpy. It is a robust affront to the systems of our day that cry out for blood and revenge. The way of Jesus is the hard way. Forgiveness, love, choosing to lay down our lives is the most difficult path in the face of real enemies. Evil is real, but love is far more powerful. So this way of the cross is not easy. It is hard to lay down our lives, but it's also the way of true life. We hear this echoed in our epistle this morning, where Paul is writing to the Philippians and urging them and urging us to have the same mind as Christ, that mind that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was God, emptied himself, becomes human, puts on the restrictions of human flesh, even taking the form of a slave and humbling himself to the point of death on the cross. And so Paul tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and that every tongue confess Jesus as Lord. And in our gospel this morning, Jesus is speaking about his own impending passion. And he says that when he is lifted upon the cross, he will draw all people to himself. All will be lifted to God, lifted high above the powers of sin and death. And so Jesus tells us to walk in the light, walk in that light of Christ while we have it. Now, at the beginning of creation, the light is present. We hear at the beginning of John's Gospel in the prologue how Jesus is the Word, that eternal God putting on human flesh. And in so doing, John's prologue tells us the light comes into the world. But it's a light so strong that the powers of this world, the darkness of this world, cannot overcome it. And so, walk in that light. Live by the power of that light, and Jesus tells us to become children of that light. Doing so requires discernment, and every age needs to understand how it is that we are called to walk by the light of Christ, how it is we are called to be the church in this time and place. Here at the Redeemer, we've been blessed with a history that Joe and Sandy De Palma have written, which tells the history of this parish. I know some of you know this story. Not all of you do, and I want to highlight a few parts of our history. And it goes back to the time when St. John's Cathedral, our cathedral still, although we don't have services there at the moment, was becoming crowded. This is early in the 20th century, and there was conversation about should the cathedral add balconies, should it have an addition added, or maybe it's time for a new church in the northern part of the city. So early in the year 1859, a group of women came together to pray. And they prayed every week and they asked God, "Are you calling us to start a new church?" And after praying, they believed that God was. And so the Church of the Redeemer was founded in 1859 and a building was built on North Main Street. And for 50 years, we worshiped there and were the church in that community. What is significant to me is that our founding, we were founded with no pew rent. And in fact, we were the first church in the state to offer free pews. That meant anyone could come to church. But it was also risky. In that era, churches supported themselves financially by renting their pews. And it'd be like us saying today, we're not going to pledge anymore. We're not going to have a stewardship campaign. It's risky. And so you see rectors throughout the time saying to the parish, "Remember, I need you to give money because that's how we support ourselves now." But to them, that risk was worth it because what was important was that there be no barriers, that all could be welcomed regardless of their financial means. That's a theme that we see throughout our history of that inclusion, that commitment to welcoming all. And so for 50 years, as I say, the church flourished and grew. The Sunday school got large. A parish house was built. There was much activity, but cities change. And so that neighborhood on North Main Street was changing. It was becoming more commercial. And a new neighborhood was founded up on Hope Street, and parishioners were moving there. And so in 1909, at the 50th anniversary, the bishop at the time, the Right Reverend William McVicar, came to the service and during his address said, "The Church of the Redeemer must move. And he went on to say, if the rector and the members of this parish decide to move, I promise to raise the first $1,000 toward the expense of such action. And I promise furthermore to raise that amount within a week. The congregation applauded. There had been talk of doing this. And the bishop's support was significant in that. He presented that vision to them, that call to a new way of being church. And he provided leadership and financial support. And by the way, $1,000 in 1909 is $26,000 now. So it was significant support that he offered. As I say, the parish wasn't surprised, and they took up this offer. And here we are still on Hope Street. So in 1916, the vestry decided to sell the buildings. This building was built. And early in 1918, the first service was held here in this church. It is our 100th anniversary, and we will observe that anniversary in April, celebrating the anniversary of the first church here in this, the first service here in this building. And so on this day is a chance for us to both give thanks, to give thanks for those who have gone before us, those who have dared to live into that call of God in their age, to understand what it means to walk it by the light of Christ, to give thanks for their vision, their risk-taking, for their faithfulness, and for their financial support. It's also a time to give thanks for how they walked in the light and ask, how are we called to walk upon the light? Walk in the light of Christ now in this era. My hope and prayer is that we continue to discern and ask that question, be responsive and faithful to God's call, and that we build upon their legacy, their faithfulness, seeking the ways in our age to take those risks to live the gospel in this era. And so on this Holy Cross Day, the day we affectionately call Redeemer Day, may we cling to the cross of Christ, acknowledging that as a parish dedicated to Jesus, our Redeemer, we're called to walk in that light of Christ, that we're called to bank our lives on the reality that that light is stronger than the evil and injustice of this world, stronger even than death itself. And we're called to live knowing that through the cross we are lifted high with Jesus, brought with him through his death and resurrection to new life, to resurrection life, to eternal life, bringing us to the very life where the power of sin and death is broken forever. For through the cross of Christ is hope for this world. Amen.